midweek through this week. Even Bex and I were talking over coffee one morning. She says, "Oh, I'm really bummed. James, we went through the book of James so fast in devotions, and I wish I could stay in a little longer." And I said, "There's nothing that is holding you back from reading the book of James a little bit longer. You know, we don't have, you know, you don't have to stick to the schedule if you want to meditate more on the book of James." But I want to do a refresher. I had a question in the last Sunday that we didn't get to, and I wanted to end with that before I go into the book of Colossians. But so let's review real quick. I want to see, because some of these things, the feedback that I've received from brothers and sisters is that there is a benefit of biblical knowledge being gained in this class. And so I want to keep refreshing that and helping you grow in Bible knowledge. What do you guys remember about who wrote the book? Right? I asked a question, will the real James please stand up? Right? How many different James do you remember that we covered last week? How many different James are there mentioned in the New Testament? At least the ones that we looked at here. At least four. Four different James. Right? And I shared with you that depending on how you read and understand, there could be, the four could be actually up to six to eight different Jameses. I don't know how you say James plural, Jameses. What was the passage that we looked at to look at even in one verse in the early church, several James? Do you guys remember? It was in the book of Acts, very good, chapter 1. So if you want to take a look at that and see if you refresh yourself which Jameses were there, please turn to Acts chapter 1. I believe it's 13, Acts 1, 13. You can see the different Jameses there. It's a nice Bible flipped over in here. Let's see that. The kids, I think, have been making a mess in this room. So if you ever see kids doing that, you can come up here and talk with them. All right. Which James do you guys find in there? Yeah, so we have Peter and John and who? James and Andrew. Okay, that's one. Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew. And then what? James, the son of Alphaeus, right? And then what's the last James? Judas, the son of James, right? Who is the first James there mentioned? Do you guys remember? If you see the first James there, remember, what did we talk about last week? I'm just trying to refresh, so the faster you guys go, the faster I'll go. Don't be afraid to shout it out. Some people know it. You don't want to shout it out. James the Less. Okay. It could be James the Less. The first James there. Well, you do see one, James the Less, or James the Younger. That is James. Okay, look at this thing. James the son of Alphaeus, right? James the son of Alphaeus. What other James do you see in there? James, the father of Judas. Not Iscariot. Okay. And then the third James that you see in there is which one? Do you guys remember? Shout it out. Let's just rip it through fast. Huh? The brother of John. Okay. So what you need to always remember, this name that goes in three, you'll always see throughout the Acts of the Apostles. You'll see who? Peter, John, and James. You'll see these three all together. There's always action with these three guys. Okay, that's the third James that's mentioned here, right? So we see already there's those three. But the book of James, right? The book of James, is it written by any of these three? No, it is written by James who? The brother of Jesus, or as someone asked last week, the half-brother. How do you say half-brother, right? And we talked about that last week. I won't go into that detail, but we saw passages of Jesus' brothers and sisters. So we know that Jesus had brothers and sisters, right? We don't know how many sisters he had. Anybody remember the number that we put out last week? Was there a number of sisters? No, unnumbered, right? So there's an unnumbered of sisters, and we know that he has at least here, how many? How many brothers? Okay, at least four, right? That's mentioned here. Right, so we see four brothers and unnumbered sisters, and we talked about why that would be half brothers and sisters and the incarnation of the God-man Jesus, right? And what was cool is even though now that we know James's half-brother, James, is the author, what do we know? What do we know about the early part of the life of James, the brother of Jesus, half-brother of Jesus? Tell me in a quick snapshot. He was not. He was not following and believing. And we saw, several different passages where Jesus' family, his brothers and his sisters, did not believe. They were the ones who were part of the crowd who thought that their sibling was crazy, was a crazy man. Right? They thought he had some mind issues. Right? Okay? They thought he was a crazy man. So what we saw is in the beginning, throughout Jesus' life and ministry, we saw that James was not a follower of Jesus during his life and his ministry. Okay, and yet, what do we see as the verses in Acts chapter 1 and as we looked in the early part of Acts, what do we see about James? A person who did not have faith, who did not believe. What do we see was the second part of his journey, and where was the transition? Where did Scripture show us the transition? Do you guys remember? What changed?
When Christ died.
Okay, after Christ had died. And after James, brother of Jesus, saw his resurrected brother, right? And so what we saw later was not only did James come to faith, but we saw, remember in Acts 15, that James appears to be not just one of the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, the mother church, but James was probably one of the main head honcho leaders, right? Remember we saw it last week. A man who, for the most part of his life, did not follow Christ, did not have a faith in his brother as a son of God. And because his faith took hold and transformed him, right? So what was our main point last week, right? Our main point last week was we saw that as a leader of the mother church, we saw that his life was transformed by faith in Jesus and Jesus' mission. And then the heart of the book of James was an insistence that the true Christianity produces a dramatic change in one's behavior, right? That's the concept. That's why I found this little picture and I typed in the words, where genuine faith leads to a life of genuine action. This is a guy who experienced a transformative faith in his life. And that's one of the main, themes, if you will, of the book of James, right? So then my questions to you, and this is what I want to get to, and then we'll get into Colossians, is I feel personally that James chapter 1:22 is one of the most jaded phrases used in churchianity today. Okay, and I use the word churchianity because I feel that there are a lot of behaviors that cause us to play church. We behaviorally do church. Why are you here this morning? Is it because you've come to worship the living God? Is it because of your faith? Is it because of your desire to worship and continue to be transformed? Or did you come today because that's what you do on Sunday mornings? Right? That's slips into every Christian's life. A routine. I've come to church. I got to do all these things. Well, I got to do things at church. I signed up. It's my turn to do something at church. Well, what else would my wife and I do on a Sunday? Right? And so Bex and I were even talking this morning because she's having a really bad stomach virus, and she just pulled a ripcord, couldn't come this morning, threw up right before she went to sleep last night, thought she might feel better, doesn't feel better. And I said, yeah, it's no worries, you know. But she was like, yeah, I'm thinking how I can be in God's word this morning. And I was telling her of like live services, you know, like Alistair Begg's church now has a live service. You know, there's a couple local churches here that are great. CCV, Christ Church of the Valley, they have live service. You know, you could just like get online and they have music, you know. So I said she could worship this morning at Bedside Baptist Church, right? But what are you doing here this morning, right? And so that's what happens with us as believers. And this phrase here, it gets prayed so often. You know, I even know how it's prayed in Chinese, you know. 不要只让我们听到,让我们行道. Right, that's what people pray all the time in Chinese. I hear it a million times that I know that phrase. Help us not to just be hearers of the word, but let us be doers of the word. Jaded phrase. Because many of you hear it, but do you do? And then maybe you've said after the, you know, 10th year now, oh Lord, help me to be doer of the word. But there's these areas that you're just not doing, right? You're still just a hearer. So of all these jaded phrases, I want you to think, get in your group real quick, and think of different reasons why Christians are not seeing change in their life. Why? What are the different reasons? And then choose one or two that your group agrees that, man, these are some of the two biggest reasons why Christians, and I keep it safe that way, so you don't have to talk about yourself. It's just safer that way. Because I don't want to put any of you on the spot if you realize that you're like, I'm not a transforming Christian. I'm not changing that much. I'm still like the same guy, same gal that I was like 2 years ago. I'm still the same person I was like 5 years ago. Ooh, gosh, ever since I came to Christ, I really haven't changed that much. A little bit. I've had a few changes, but I haven't changed much since. I don't want to have you feel like you're on the spot, but you can share why you think other Christians are not seeing change in your life. Right, I'm curious, what do we think about that? And we'll share, okay? So get in your groups, maybe 3-4 people, and share about that for a few minutes. Okay, what do you guys think? What are some of the reasons? Why don't we go around and share? What's one or two things that you guys felt was, what causes Christians to not change? What are some of the obstacles to that? What do you guys feel? Just one or two?
Like distractions.
Okay.
Distractions from the world.
Okay.
Takes you off course.
Distractions. Mm-hmm. All right. What about you guys?
They don't feel the need to change.
Oh, you don't feel the need to change. Okay. Is that because... explain that real quick. Is that because they don't want to change, or is it like I don't want to change, or is it like why do I need to change? I don't see that I have to change.
It's like you don't want to change, and like justify yourself and giving yourself.
Oh, okay. So you're justifying yourself, saying like I'm doing this and I stand fine before God.
You're good.
Okay. All right. Okay. How about in the back?
One big one, I mean, it's kind of off on this one, but people have depression.
Yeah.
They don't want to change because they may not know why they're here. And
sure.
Even they came for a reason, it's routine, but they don't know really the Holy Spirit needs to work on them.
Okay.
They may have some personal matter.
Okay, are you talking about like a spiritual like depression, or are you actually talking about a full-blown, you know, psychosomatic, like whole condition, like a clinical depression?
Could be both.
Yeah,
spiritual,
sure.
Depression, probably both.
Okay, good. Tim, you're about to say something too? Or no?
I was going to say, if we don't have an active prayer life,
okay,
that can also lead to
okay. Yeah, so define active prayer life.
But I feel like the complacency is a natural thing
right.
for people to fall into.
Right.
And it's something that we should, and we've probably all been in periods of life like that. It requires prayer to ask God to
right.
constantly open our hearts and minds to change.
Good, good.
Not to fall into that.
Okay, all right. Okay, so lack of prayer, some spiritual depression, even clinical depression, okay? Like a loneliness, okay? How about group in the back there?
I think the biggest one is taking for granted God's word
mm-hmm.
in different ways.
Mm.
Cindy had mentioned like just taking the good parts.
Sure.
I think for me recently, I was, and it's okay, you know, like at the beginning of my faith, it was more like understanding. There's like a little bit of change, but like even recently, I think you had one time read like Genesis 1, mm-hmm. and you had said so many times like there's like God's name all over this
mm-hmm.
first page, and like I was really convicted, like I really took for granted His word. Like this is His word.
Mm-hmm.
This is Him right here
mm-hmm.
in front of us, and I just take it for granted sometimes. And I read through because I want either, you know, have things to do or just many different things.
Mm.
But like just truly
like taking seriously His word, right, and all that's in it. Okay.
Yeah, His word.
Yeah, okay.
Like not just the Bible.
Right, right, yes. Right, okay, cool. Good. Next group.
Well, for me, I think I'm like passive in my faith
mm.
and not like active and intentional. And so I let things happen to me. I wait for God to
mm.
give me instructions or teachings, and I let the world like consume me,
mm.
And not like intentionally, purposefully seeking Him out, reaching out for Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
mm-hmm. So you're kind of letting things dictate you instead of you being able to speak into or, you know, actively pursue. Okay. 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 How about this next group?
So I need to talk two things. One of them was thinking that, oh yeah, I've already changed, and so not realizing that like, well, it's been a while since
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
and that we need that continuous
mm-hmm.
change.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, I think we were talking about more specifically like the Chinese immigrant culture
mm-hmm.
and mentality.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, for so long, our gospel has been work hard and, like, do it yourself.
Okay.
And, like, as you hear the gospel in that, it's like, oh, God will help you in that, but it's still very much like you.
Okay.
And so it's hard to differentiate, like, oh, like, you're working for it yourself or you're working in Christ.
Right, right. And you think, okay, so Serena said that that's one of the pitfalls, maybe, right, of a Chinese immigrant church, that the gospel is about working to achieve what?
Like whatever your idea of the good life is,
okay.
God will help you in that.
Okay, so the gospel is like God's helping you to do the work in your life, right? Or maybe it even mixes into like a works-based, you know, standing before God, right?
I think it's not so much that as the understanding that it's hard to differentiate between like, oh, I'm working at this like on my own versus like actually being in Christ.
Okay.
His leading.
Yes. And are you talking about, for instance, were you guys talking about working to please God or just working to like live the dream?
I think it could be either, because we were talking about like in career and working hard.
Mm-hmm.
But also,
mm-hmm.
where it's like you're working for what you think is
right, right. Okay. So it's a very kind of like a man driven mentality. Self effort driven mentality. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so I think these are things that we need to continue to be thinking about more. I think the concept of the life that continues to transform. I don't think there's a pressure to be put on each other to say, you know, hey, well, then you ought to feel condemned, because the scripture says that those of us who are in Christ are not condemned. Okay, so when you feel feelings and sentiments of condemnation, that's not from the Lord. You might have your own feeling of condemnation, or you have a feeling from an unclean spirit or the enemy condemning you, right? So that's not what it's about. But I think the encouragement that we see through the book of James is that, and I think it's fascinating if we can trace back James coming to faith because of the death and the resurrection of Christ, right? To be able to see and to believe that Jesus is God and he died for us for all that he said, and he proved that and supplied the power and the new life and the new covenant and all the stuff that we've talked about in this class before, that's all been supplied by Christ's resurrection, right? And so this is the thing that I want to point back to, because James has that to go back to, right? The reason why he can write such a statement about faith that leads to works and a life that is being transformed, a life that does not just hear but continues to do, which translates to continue to obey and continue to transform, is because he experienced that in his own life, right? And that all centered around the death and resurrection of Christ, right? So I want to just use that to encourage us, because we're seeing transformation at this church. I think we're seeing it. We're seeing life transformation at this church. Are you part of that? You know, are you allowing and desiring and hoping and asking God to continue to change you? I think there's a lot of things, even when you think back, I have another set of questions I'm not going to go into because I want to move into the Colossians, because we're starting that in devotions. But just the concept of, think about in all the areas that by God's grace you've been able to obey him. Take that step of faith and continue to allow the Spirit to transform your life, the ways you've experienced God, and why that wouldn't be encouragement for you to keep pressing on, right? Wouldn't you want God to continue to do that work in you? Wouldn't you want to experience God in overcoming, right? Because he's already overcome. But you get to experience the overcoming nature, the power of who he is, and his power over the shackles of sin in your life that he's already freed, but to be able to experience that in your life, right? So let that just be an encouragement for you. And that's, you know, we don't have time based on just kind of like the two, you know, we had 2 weeks to spend on the book of James and now we're through with it in our devotional life. So we're going to move on to the book of Colossians. What we're going to do with Colossians is, since you guys gave feedback that you really liked the Bible Project videos, we're going to look at that, and then if we have time, we'll talk about one thing in the very beginning of it. And then if we don't get to that, we can end our class today, but I'll be teaching through Colossians for the next couple weeks. All right, pretty cool, right? Pretty fast? You guys understand it? You guys ready for a quiz? I'm just kidding. All right, so we're going to take a little deeper dive on this next week. Hopefully that gave you a little bit of a picture of it. I was going to go through this first slide, but I'm just going to end because we have about, it looks like 3-4 minutes left to go. Any thoughts on that so far? Do you guys see, even as we linked from the book of James into Colossians, how much Colossians continued this conversation of transforming? He was using the phrase in the video, reshaping, right? Reshaping what the family would look like, because the gospel and the power of Jesus' resurrection is reshaping each individual. Do you guys see that? Right? I mean, it's pretty consistent throughout, different perspectives of it, but this continued thought of reshaping, I think, is pretty powerful. We're going to look at this next week, but I'll just show you that even in the first section that Paul was writing to this church, even though he didn't plant it, he heard about it from Epaphras, he was writing we, right? He and those with him, one of which is Epaphras. Thank God, because since we heard of your faith, right? So they have the faith in Jesus and the love you have for the saints and the hope laid up for you in heaven. That's one of the things that Pastor James and I focused on when we preached the Colossians, right? He sees us in them, meaning this is a church that's growing. This is a church that's transforming. But I want you to notice that he continues to say, even as he thanks God, he's praying for them. And even as he says, and so even since we've heard of you and how your faith has been taking shape, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking God that you be filled with the knowledge of spiritual wisdom and understanding, and so you can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I want to bring you to this point. Only because I'm sensitive to it this week. I'm preaching on that in just a few minutes. Just the power of prayer. Why would Paul, even being, this is part of the prison letters, right? Paul being shackled up, writing this letter, the biggest effort that he could put in, investing into the church, is saying that we are praying for you. We are praying for you to walk this way. We are praying for you that you wouldn't be walking in that old way, but we are praying for you, we have not ceased to pray for you, that you would walk in this new way in a manner that's worthy, right? And, you know, Tim brought it up for ourselves. Maybe we're not transforming, he said, because we're not praying in our own life. But how often, many of you are in ministries. You might teach a class. You might be involved in some of the ministry. Do you pray? Like, why are you in ministry? Why are you teaching a class? Why do you do usher? Why, if it's not to help someone else grow in their faith? Why do you be a part of music worship or do crafts for VBS if it's not to help someone grow in their faith? So my challenge is, like, do we believe in the power of prayer? Right? Do we even see that the biggest thing that Paul knew he could do is to pray for them? That they would not walk in this way, but that they would walk in this way. Are we praying for each other's transformation? Do you pray? When was the last time you prayed for anyone to continue to be transformed and changed and to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord? Have you been praying for that? You guys with me? So I just want to leave that with you as a thought. You know, we'll be preaching on that in a second, this whole concept of prayer and why we should pray. All right? So, yep. With that, I'll wrap up class for us. God, we thank you. We thank you that even at a bird's eye view of Scripture, that at this 30,000 foot view of Scripture, Lord, we can glean and see these big ideas, whether it's in James and the few weeks that we'll spend in Colossians. Lord, I know that the text itself is so dense and we can stretch it out. We could probably do a Bible study on Colossians for a year. But Father, sometimes there are powerful things that we could pick up from a bird's eye view. And I pray that you continue to help us each day as we spend time in the book of Colossians, that we would see these themes, even as the author of Bible Project laid out for us. Father, we talked a lot about transformation today. And Lord, I think when we look at each other, we see transformation, Lord, but you know where we're at. And your desire for us to grow in repentance and transformation, Lord, the scriptures even say that it is your kindness, not your wrath, that leads us to repentance. It is your kindness, Lord. It is the fact that we think about your great love for your people, your great patience for us, that continues to motivate us, Lord, to want to experience you in greater ways. So help that be our own personal prayer to you this morning, God. Not in a jaded way, but that we would not just be hearers of these concepts and principles in your word, but that we would be able to allow the Spirit to transform us into that new person that you've created us to be. So, Father, we thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.